This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
A highly charged debate. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, October 10. Welcome aboard. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump took part in a town hall-style debate in the second of three appearances together. It was not for the faint of heart.
Hurricane Matthew may have moved on, but its danger has not. Here are the threats that remain, even though the storm has been downgraded.
Samsung today says it's temporarily changing the production schedule for the Galaxy Note 7. Some say that's code language for stopping production.
And the new study questioning the use of fetal ultrasounds.
Obstetrical experts recommend two, but what the Wall Street Journal's research has found is that the average is more than twice that, and that many women with no apparent problems or complications are receiving 12 or more ultrasounds.
Wall Street Journal reporter Kevin Hellicker on a new study suggesting that a first trimester fetal ultrasound may contribute to the severity of autism symptoms. He's here in about 20 minutes. Well, if you weren't sure what the second presidential debate was going to be like, the fact that Donald Trump held a news event 90 minutes beforehand with four women who've accused former President Bill Clinton of sexual misconduct should have been a clue. If not, the fact that Mr. Trump and Hillary Clinton didn't shake hands as they walked on stage last night should have been the second clue. During the debate, Mr. Trump dismissed some sexually charged comments he made 11 years ago as just locker room talk.
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it.
Mrs. Clinton, meanwhile, used the release of that video as a talking point.
What we all saw and heard on Friday was Donald talking about women, what he thinks about women, what he does to women.
If elected, Mr. Trump said he would instruct his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate Mrs. Clinton's use of a private email server while she was Secretary of State.
It's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Because you'd be in jail.
The two did shake hands at the end of the town hall forum at Washington University in St. Louis. The third and final debate is next Wednesday. Let's get some post-debate analysis now from Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's with us live. Olivier, I got to ask this. Is it safe for me to come out from under my couch now after watching that last night?
Okay, Gordon, I think on our Yahoo live stream last night, I think what I said was, if this is a town hall debate, I'm not sure I want to move to this town.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of clutching the pillow, bracing for bombs as I watched this thing right out of the gate. What was your takeaway?
Well, I mean, there are a couple different ways of looking at this. One is that I think Donald Trump probably won't see too many more high-profile defections from Republicans, really, who have been caught flat-footed by this video. But on the other hand, he also didn't transform the race. And the problem at this point, Gordon, is that if you look at the battleground states in which these two are going really head-to-head, she's winning in most of them. And that's a real problem for him. I don't think he transformed the race. I don't think he did anything to really change it. He will probably sort of stop the bleeding and stop the hemorrhaging of Republican leadership support. But I don't think this fundamentally altered 2016.
Speaking of which, I mean, separately here, what about this conference call that's scheduled for today? What could come out of that? I know that's kind of off subject here.
I'm not completely sure. You know, there have been a lot of rumors of, for a long time, there have been a lot of rumors of chaos inside the Trump camp. Right now, there are a lot of rumors about tensions between the RNC, the Republican National Committee, and the Trump campaign. There are questions about who's really, as always, there are questions about who's really in charge at Trump Tower. So I'm not completely sure. I think I think given the performance last night, my guess would be that they're going to have this conference call and they're sort of everyone's going to agree to kind of stay the course.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I noticed about these debates, and it struck me last night, when Mr. Trump starts with the phrase like he did on stage last night, quote, "I'm going to say it and I hate to say it," for like a split second or maybe a full second, you're thinking, oh no, here it comes. What's he going to say? Right? I mean, those are the types of moments now, I think, that we've come to expect or even look for in these debates.
Yeah, and you know, so my first proper reporting assignment was impeachment. And I remember back in 1998, 1999, I remember all the conversations about how you couldn't let your kids watch the news because the news was all about those fun sexual affairs. I feel like we are in kind of a bizarre world version of that this time now. Where people are saying, you know, well, I can't let my kid watch the news. What if this guy, you know, gets graphic or talks about sexually assaulting women? It was very odd. It was odd that I didn't feel like we got enough actual town hall questions. You know, voters actually asking questions that they care about. It was weird that they were not that far from Ferguson, Missouri. We didn't have any questions about police, community relations. We didn't have any climate change questions again. I don't know. I didn't come out of this feeling super awesomely happy with our democratic process.
Yeah, no question. Boy, we're speaking live this morning with Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. He's icing his forehead this morning like I am after banging it against the wall while watching the debate last night. On a lighter note, by the way, did you happen to see when the fly landed on Mrs. Clinton's forehead?
I did not. Is there a fly now?
This happened. I didn't watch the whole thing like you did because I get into bed earlier. But there was something like the fly like landed on her forehead and made a quick dart to like her eyebrow. And like this has become a thing now where it's about the fly. But I thought just in this election cycle with these two candidates and what has happened between them, I thought it's only fitting that something else bizarre happened between them.
You know, I think that's a funny point to make. I think, I mean, I've seen, I think President Obama had a very large fly land on his forehead during one of his press conferences. And of course, he had that other one where he, you know, snapped at the fly and killed it in an interview. I mean, at this point in 2016, what can you say? I mean, what's the next thing that's going to happen? And actually, that's an important point about this debate. You can't look at this debate as though it's frozen in ether, frozen in amber. There are a lot of things happening around it, behind it. I alluded to one of them, which is the fights in the battleground states. But you know, at this point, we have not seen the last big, amazing disclosure of this campaign, I think. And so,
oh, really, you think so?
As we sort of gauge what this debate did to the race, you got to think like, well, we may have done something to the race for maybe a week or half a week, but we're going to get something else.
Man, we got to revisit that prediction. Thanks for spending a few minutes, as always. Olivier Knox, chief Washington correspondent at Yahoo News. Not the last big reveal, he's saying, before November 8. My goodness. 14 minutes now after the hour on this morning, America's First News.
In business, risks and rewards come with every decision, like moving to the cloud with Office 365. While its benefits include anywhere access and lower costs, cyber threats and user errors can quickly wipe out data and the money you save. Barracuda Essentials for Office 365 provide an added layer of security and functionality for threat protection, email migration, data recovery, and quality of service. Move securely to Office 365. Visit barracuda.com/essentials to learn more.
Glad you could be with us. Good Monday to you. Hurricane Matthew may be off the map, but the Eastern Seaboard has not stopped feeling its effects just yet. Authorities are warning that the death toll could still rise as people return home to places in North and South Carolina and face things like contaminated water, downed power lines, flooded roadways. Matthew, now a post-tropical cyclone, has been blamed for 8 deaths in North Carolina. Governor Pat McCrory.
We have right now reports of 5 missing people, and I pray that we find those missing people.
Elsewhere, there were 6 deaths reported in Florida, 3 in Georgia. There was 1 death each in Virginia and South Carolina. Georgia Governor Nathan Deal says things could have been worse for his state.
roof damage as you would anticipate, but not quite as much as I would have anticipated myself. Trees down, there again, not nearly as many as I would have thought we would have seen.
Could be days before waters crest and repair crews are able to reach all of those who've been affected. Hundreds of deaths in Haiti, by the way, have been attributed to the storm. Hundreds. And contaminated water is causing an outbreak of cholera there. A U.S. Navy ship came under fire yesterday from coastal areas of Yemen controlled by Houthi rebels, but the two missiles that were launched toward the guided missile destroyer fell harmlessly into the sea. The Pentagon says it was the first known instance in which the Houthis have fired upon an American vessel since Yemen's civil war began 2 years ago. More now from this morning's Dave Duncan.
A Pentagon spokesman says the destroyer Mason, while conducting routine operations in international waters, detected two missiles that were fired at the ship within a one-hour period. Captain Jeff Davis said both missiles landed well shy of the ship, although he would not say by how much. The ship was in the southern end of the Red Sea at the time. The United States has provided refueling planes and some intelligence to a Saudi-led Arab coalition fighting Shiite rebels in Yemen. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, his presidential campaign in peril, Donald Trump left no doubt he'll spend the final weeks before the election dredging up decades-old sexual allegations against Hillary Clinton's husband. Faced with questions at last night's debate about his own vulgar remarks about women, Trump accused Bill Clinton of having been abusive to women. He also questioned Hillary's transparency.
She's got bad judgment, and honestly, so bad that she should never be president of the United States.
Clinton questioned Trump's tax policies.
Donald always takes care of Donald and people like Donald, and this would be a massive gift. And indeed, the way that he talks about his tax cuts would end up raising taxes on middle-class families, millions of middle-class families.
It was a bitter showdown that turned off many undecided voters. NBC has suspended Billy Bush from the Today Show over the host's 2005 taping lewd conversation with Trump. The suspension comes as a flood of Republicans have withdrawn their support for Trump over the video that emerged Friday showing the businessman talking with Bush on an open microphone about groping women and trying to seduce a married woman. Hurricane Matthew's torrential rains have triggered severe flooding in North Carolina as the deteriorating storm makes its exit to the sea, and thousands of people had to be rescued from their homes and cars. The death toll in the U.S. climbed to at least 19, nearly half of them in North Carolina. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory.
Hurricane Matthew is off the map, but it's still with us, and it's still deadly.
While Matthew's wind speed has dropped considerably by the time it hit the southeast coast, the storm will still go down as one of the most potent hurricanes on record. And what happens when you win your first home game over a top 10 team in 32 years? You get a four-day weekend. After Navy upset number 6 Houston on Saturday, the Naval Academy announced it would call off classes on Tuesday. Because Navy already had today off for Columbus Day, students now get a four-day weekend.
Okay, that, I mean, you just jinxed everything there, Navy, by doing that.
Why is that?
You can't give students off for winning the game.
You think they're going to lose now?
Yeah, it's just a jinx. Just leave well enough alone. Congrats. It was a big win.
All right. I'm going to watch that now.
Spoken like a West Point employee, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's what this is. Right.
23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a health and wellness update, and it's brought to you by Rite Aid. Get your flu shot at Rite Aid today. Free with most insurance plans. Age restrictions apply in some states. See your Rite Aid pharmacist for details. A new study suggesting that first trimester fetal ultrasounds may contribute to the severity of autism symptoms heightens a dilemma facing obstetricians these days. How to halt the widespread overuse of fetal ultrasound without scaring women away from this important medical procedure. Here's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Another worry for pregnant women, fetal ultrasounds. A new study suggests the procedure done in the first trimester may contribute to autism. With more on the finding, Kevin Heliker of the Wall Street Journal. Kevin, what are fetal ultrasounds used for and how often are they given?
Boy, that's the million-dollar question. So they are used, we've all known someone who was about to become a new mother who, you know, wants everyone to see her fetal ultrasound image, or we've been in that situation ourselves. And in fact, it's really cool to be able to see an unborn baby in the womb. But they are basically used to date the pregnancy, Is there one fetus or two? Or we have twins, triplets. They're very good at that. And then they can detect various abnormalities. And basically, in a low-risk, complication-free pregnancy, obstetrical experts recommend two. But what the Wall Street Journal's research has found is that the average is more than twice that, and that many women with no apparent problems or complications are receiving 12 or more ultrasounds.
Kevin, we've seen the blowback to vaccines over the autism issue. Do you think now we're going to see the same kind of thing about ultrasounds?
I don't think so for a couple of reasons. First of all, as I say, this isn't the first study to raise questions, and previous and usage rates of fetal ultrasound have just continued to skyrocket in the wake of the earlier studies raising questions. Two, what you just said, women love it. You know, vaccinations, I mean, who among us likes, you know, subjecting our one, our 3-month-old to hypodermic needles? We don't like that, but we do like fetal ultrasound. And I think maybe people learned from the vaccinations fiasco. Ultrasound's not in that same category. I mean, it provides a lot of valuable services. But some research, I mean, like, suggests that the outcomes for women and their babies are really no different whether they receive fetal ultrasound or not.
Mm. This morning's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal reporter Kevin Hellicker. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Hey, glad you're with us on this Monday, October 10. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines on this Columbus Day. Clinton and Trump debate again. She called him a misogynist. He referred to her as the devil. Severe flooding still on tap in the wake of Hurricane Matthew. A Navy ship fired upon in the Red Sea. No injuries. Samsung has reportedly suspended production of its newest smartphone. The New York Times raises the question, if the Cubs make it to the World Series for the first time in 71 years, will fans still throw back home run balls from the opposing team? And the Germans with the worst dialect. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, Hurricane Matthew has been downgraded now to a post-tropical cyclone. Doesn't mean the damage is still yet to be encountered in some spots. Let's get an update from one of the hardest hit areas in Florida from Hurricane Matthew, and that's St. Augustine. We're joined now live by Chris Phillips. She's general manager of News Talk 102.1 WFOY Radio, one of our affiliates located in St. Augustine. Chris, good morning. What are you hearing at this point? Because the images were just stunning.
Yeah, we're definitely, we had a lot of people who were returning home yesterday after being evacuated to figure out what, you know, where things stood and what it looked like. And we had some areas, you know, downtown St. Augustine and a neighborhood right across the bridge from St. Augustine that's part of the city limits called Davis Shores were hit very hard. And so there's just a lot of cleanup efforts going on and trying to determine first and foremost whether buildings that may be standing are structurally sound enough to even try to clean up or inhabit. But we have about 10,000 people that are still without power. There are still areas where there's significant amounts of debris in the roadway, so you can't even get to your house in a car. There are also areas that the water is not safe to drink, if you even have water, and there are some significant issues with sewage as well. So we have a long way to go. This is a community that is really pulled together, and we're going to get through this and return St. Augustine to what it was like before, but it's going to be a long and slow process.
Wasn't there a bed and breakfast that was kind of the main image Friday and Saturday? Was that in St. Augustine where the water was like up to the front steps? There were people inside who decided to kind of weather things and then were just trapped.
Yeah, that did become sort of the picture of St. Augustine. It is right in downtown St. Augustine, and what possessed those people to try to ride out a storm when they're overlooking a bayfront, I'm not really sure. It's really incredible, though, when you go downtown, which has, again, as I mentioned, been really hard hit, that there are historic buildings down there, some of them that were barely touched and are, in fact, going to open up today. And
Of
the restaurants were open yesterday. There were others that are, you know, completely destroyed. So it's quite a sight to see that some places were hit just so much harder than others.
All right. We're speaking live this morning with Chris Phillips. She's the general manager of News Talk 102.1 WFOI Radio in St. Augustine, one of our affiliates there. What's the neighborhood like where the radio station is located?
Well, the radio station is just south of downtown St. Augustine, and so it did pretty well. We got power back at the in this area yesterday.
Okay.
And I live on the Barrier Island, Anastasia Island, and my septic tank is sitting in my yard right now. I'm actually hanging out living at the radio station right now until I can get things back together at my house.
Wow. What's that mean for, like, food delivery? You can get food delivered there, or are there restaurants or grocery stores open where you can get stuff?
You know, I had stocked up a pretty good supply of food before the hurricane hit. There are, as I mentioned, restaurants open here, not a significant number, but there are some. And the grocery stores have non-perishable food, but not a lot of perishable items yet. And there are a lot of local churches and the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, but I've been really stunned by the local churches who have stepped up and brought in just truckloads of food for people, some of it prepared meals, and just really tried to help people out as they dig out of Hurricane Matthew.
You got a lumpy, uncomfortable couch you're staying on, or a cot, or what do you got?
I have a little cot. I have my 10-year-old dog with me and my son.
Jeez.
And so it's an interesting situation. But all of us in St. Augustine, you know, we're tough people down here. So we're gonna get through this and help each other out in the process.
You got to be tough, right? What, founded in like the 1560s or something like that, right? Oldest community in the country.
451 years and still going strong.
Very good. Hey, thanks for a few minutes. Glad all is okay, and hope you survive the living there at the radio station. Chris Phillips, general manager of News Talk 102.1 WFOY Radio in St. Augustine, Florida. 19 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. Thanks for being with us. Good Monday to you. Here's how big America's opioid crisis has gotten. Ingredients for the deadly synthetic narcotic fentanyl are so easy to obtain that mom-and-pop drug labs are cropping up around the country. Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp says it's like Breaking Bad. John, what's going on here?
What's going on here really is that we have this drug called fentanyl, and it sounds like a pharmaceutical product, and there is a real pharmaceutical product known as fentanyl. It's a very powerful pain reliever, but what we're really talking about is this bootleg version that is largely made in laboratories in China, and it's illegal, and it's unfortunately also very popular in the U.S. in killing thousands of people. And the increasingly, it's getting to people in the form of pills that these illegal pill-making laboratories, and increasingly in the U.S. as well, are popping up. And it's just not that hard to buy the fentanyl powder, to buy a pill press machine, and to squeeze this powder into pill form and to sell it to people. And importantly, they're passing it off as something else. You know, they'll sell it and say this is oxycodone or you know, a less powerful drug. So it's very dangerous for the user who buys these pills because they think that they're taking something or abusing something that's less potent, but they may be getting fentanyl, which is many, many times more potent than some of these other opioid drugs, and that's a very, very risky proposition for them.
My goodness. All right, so you say in the story, small-scale drug labs cropping up around the country as
yes.
budding homebrew traffickers discover how easy it is to make these pills using synthetic opioids to meet a skyrocketing demand. Well, there's so many things wrong with that sentence. Goodness. But these drug labs, like you profiled this one couple in San Francisco. Can you explain what they were up to?
Sure. Well, according to the DEA, these are the allegations that have been levied against them. They haven't had their day in court yet, but they were charged in federal court with essentially running a one of these pill-making labs that I just described and distributing these pills. And the allegations are that they essentially quietly in a third-floor apartment in a quiet neighborhood in San Francisco were using fentanyl and a pill press machine to crank out fake pain pills. And this may be just one example of many around the country.
Thanks, John. Wall Street Journal reporter John Camp. Certainly disturbing stories and numbers with regards to the opioid crisis. Reminder, by the way, that we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. If you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, it was a barrage of attacks. In last night's presidential debate, Donald Trump repeatedly called Hillary Clinton a liar and the devil and said Clinton has tremendous hate in her heart. Clinton said Trump's vulgar comments about women reveal exactly who he is and show he's unsuitable to be president. But it ended on an unexpected note when the candidates were asked what they respect about each other.
I respect his children. His children are incredibly able and devoted, and I think that says a lot about Donald.
She does fight hard, and she doesn't quit, and she doesn't give up, and I consider that to be a very good trait.
Despite those complimentary comments, some people who watched the debate were so disgusted they said they wouldn't vote. The Moscow government is downplaying U.S. claims that it has been hacking U.S. political sites and email accounts to try to interfere with the election. Russian officials dismiss the hacking allegations as some kind of nonsense. The White House declined to say whether the hacking would trigger sanctions against Russia, adding that the U.S. will respond at a time and place of our choosing. Helicopters are ferrying in food and medicine to devastated southwestern Haiti. Almost a week after Hurricane Matthew's assault, there's still no electricity and water and food are scarce. Samsung's crisis with its Galaxy Note 7 smartphone hit a new low today as the company confirmed it has made changes to its production of the problem phones to ensure safety. The move follows multiple reports that even the newly released Galaxy Note 7 phones, which had been offered as replacements for the recalled fire-prone phones, also overheated or caught fire. And no surprise here, during last night's contentious and bitter presidential debate, Facebook users and tweeters took to social media in massive numbers to share their reactions. More than 17 million debate-related tweets were sent. Users from both platforms engaged the most when Donald Trump dismissed his running mate Mike Pence over policy in Syria. The other most discussed moments were Trump's moment of chivalry, in which he insisted Clinton answer the question first because he's a gentleman. The other was when Trump told Clinton that if he were in charge of the law, she'd be in jail.
Memorable moments from last night's debate, that's for sure. Thank you, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are three numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2,000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. Thanks for being with us. So as it happens, in Swabia, Germany, making cars and expensive industrial machines is the region's strong suit. Speaking German is not. Swabia is home to some of Germany's largest businesses, including Porsche. It's known for discreet affluence, thrift, hard work, and lack of debt. There's high growth and virtually no unemployment. Yet the Wall Street Journal says locals are cursed with a rustic dialect, which can be both incomprehensible and annoying. The best part is how Journal reporter Zeke Turner wrote about the accent. He says, in acoustic terms, the A sounds come out nasal. They make er and or sounds at the back of the mouth instead of up front, which one person described as sounding like Donald Duck talk. Whereas most Germans, he says, might ask for an egg, which in German is ein Ei, some Swabians request oi oi. Swabians confuse S sounds, also turning the word last into lashed. Their carefree approach to vowel groups, he says, can sound like someone speaking in tongues or without one altogether. For Jennifer Kashenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Hey, thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.